I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Farewell, Timothy Riley's bar, and terraplanes, and rumble seats, and saddle shoes, and Helen Forrest, triple C camps. And Andy Hardy, and Lum and Abner, and the world champion New York Yankees. Rest in peace, you age of innocence. You beautiful, serene, carefree, pre-Pearl Harbor long summer night. We shall not look upon your likes again.
We're back again with Ann Serling, author of the book, As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, right here on the TV Time Machine. Did he get a lot of his best ideas in the middle of the night? Because he had a very active mind.
I don't really know how to answer that. You know, again, the middle of the night, what I remember is my dad having nightmares, and when I would ask him in the morning what happened, and he would tell me, I dreamt that the Japanese were coming at me. I'm sure my dad's mind never shut off creatively either. I think, you know, like I said before, he had to shoot out all of these Twilight Zones in such a relatively short time that he had to be thinking constantly. You know, he wrote 92 of the I think it was 156 episodes.
That's right.
That's an enormous amount in, you know, I often think about how prolific he, you know, he was so prolific then, and how much more he would have been now with a computer and.
And all the opportunities, especially since so much video is going online. What do you think are the types of things that he would write, since he would no longer have the shackles, the censorship shackles that he experienced back in the 50s and 60s?
Right. I think, you know, once he, as I said, he wasn't great with electronic things and putting things together. Once he mastered the computer, I think he would have absolutely loved it and would have been even more prolific. He would have just been sort of released out there, you know, to say everything he wanted to say without that dread of that red pen and, oh, you can't say this, you'll offend so-and-so. And I think it would have just been incredibly liberating.
What did your dad think of the fact that he created something, the Twilight Zone, that made such an amazing cultural impact and still is making an impact?
Well, you know, when my dad died, he had no idea, I don't think, the impact that his writing had. He was quoted as saying that, I think the quote was, good writing, like wine, has to stand the age of time and the test of time. And although he felt his writing was momentarily adequate, he didn't think it would stand the test of time. I think he would be stunned after, you know, all these decades that people are still talking about you know, his writing in the Twilight Zone and doing these marathons. And, you know, there's an entire fifth grade program devoted to watching these Twilight Zones and learning from them about, you know, prejudice and scapegoating and mob mentality. And I think that would have been his greatest accolade. But I really, you know, and I hear from people all the time about, and he would be so touched by this, as I have been, how influenced they were by my dad and his writing, and how he inspired them to become writers.
I think he got a little bit of that when he started teaching and was talking to the young people of the time. I think he got a sense of that a little bit then. Do you feel
right.
that?
Right, and he loved teaching, and he said that, you know, he was finally getting back, you know, he was learning from people rather than spewing out to them. So he loved that. But I don't know that he really knew the, you know, just how loved he was.
And in As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, your book, you mentioned that a few years after The Twilight Zone was canceled, your dad created another anthology series, Night Gallery.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an exhibit of the eerie and the oddball. Our first offering this evening, faces, paint, pigment, and desperation, the quiet desperation of men over 40 who keep hearing footsteps behind them and are torn between a fear and a compulsion to look over their shoulders. The painting is called They're Tearing Down Tim Riley's Bar.
How was that experience different from his experience on The Twilight Zone?
I think the Night Gallery experience was frustrating for him because he did not have creative control with that as he did with The Twilight Zone, and it sort of spiraled into something that he'd never intended it to be, with sort of this horror and just not the show that he had intended. That said, there were some great shows, as you pointed out.
What are some of the episodes that stand out for you? Is They're Tearing Down Tim Riley's Bar one of them?
That would be the one that I really loved. And, you know, like Walking Distance was so autobiographical.
How autobiographical was that particular show, Tim Riley's Bar?
Well, you know, about a war vet who was the same age as my dad, looking back on his life. Lived on Bennett Ave, where my dad also lived, still being sort of haunted by the ghosts, you know, of his past, you know, the relationship with his dad, and his father also dying.
It seems to me that Rod Serling, your dad, was yearning for the past and so nostalgic for the past because it was sort of a way that, you know, if he could kind of go back in time, maybe he could change time. And maybe he could keep his dad from dying.
I think that's true. I think, you know, because he never got the closure that he needed, you know, because his father died when my dad was overseas, I guess that's something, you know, you always want to fix somehow or go back and, you know, it was just sort of this empty space in my dad that he could never reconcile. And just missed him so tremendously throughout his life.
Now, as you mentioned, after his Night Gallery experience, your dad in part turned to teaching. What did he enjoy most about teaching, and how was he able to connect so well with young people? I especially like the story that you write in your book where he gives a speech to young people, and it was the first time that you really saw him speak like that and the connection that he made.
Right, you know, and when I saw him speak, it was when, you know, the generation gap was in full bloom and, you know, people were still upset about the Vietnam War and Watergate. And yet when my dad walked out on that stage and spoke, he just captured these people and he just really was able to connect And I guess because I had never seen my dad in that role, you know, speaking, it was just incredibly meaningful to me.
Well, was he also able to connect because he had a youthful spirit himself?
I think absolutely he did, and he was able to relate to just about anybody.
Now, Anne, in your book, As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling, you talk about your dad's cigarette habit, as you describe it, his addiction. How did they ultimately impact his life and his health?
Well, he was, you know, smoking was a terrible addiction for my father. He had tried to quit several times. He had Raynaud's disease and, you know, was clearly feeling the effects of the nicotine and just could not quit entirely, although he would quit for a few days and maybe a week. But even in the hospital, after he had his first heart attack, he hid his cigarettes in a radio and the radio caught fire, and even when he came home from the hospital, when he, you know, had strict orders, you're not to smoke, he would hide cigarettes all over. So even though he was finally able to cut back, he never could quit entirely. I think, and I've often wondered this today, would my father still be smoking with the pressure that a smoker feels today? And I don't know.
Now, when your dad was hospitalized and passed away after open-heart surgery in 1975, how did you deal with that, and how did you and your family cope with such a sudden and devastating loss in your lives?
It was unbearable, actually, and it took me years to work through my grief. I had what I guess was called complicated grief, or I can't remember exactly what the term was, but eventually, you know, I wrote the first book about my dad to try and get it off my chest. You know, my sister became a nurse because she was so impressed with, you know, the people that took care of my dad in the hospital. It's just, I mean, I think, you know, everybody goes through a grieving process, but I got stuck somehow, and it took me decades because I just missed him so tremendously that I just couldn't work through it. So it took the help of professionals and friends, and, you know, and then I got married, and my husband was a huge support and all that.
What did you learn about the grief process, and what did you learn about yourself when you went through that experience?
I guess I learned that I needed to give myself some breathing room, and that it wasn't going to be this magical cure, that it was very complicated. And I'm not a religious person, so I think if I had been, that might have been helpful. I don't know. What finally helped me tremendously was reading or watching one of my dad's shows called A Storm in Summer, and there's a part of that where my dad talks about grief and how you think the crying will never stop and you'll never get past it and you'll never get better, but the crying does stop and you do start to live again. And I would watch that over and over, and it finally, it was sort of like I sort of saw it ultimately like a message from my dad that, you know what, you're going to be okay.
This is a big thing, and I think we all experience this with our parents, and this was certainly the case with me and my dad. My dad passed away in 2004. Do you feel that you said everything that you wanted to say to your dad before he passed away?
Well, that was something I didn't know and I really struggled with for many, many years. And when I was writing this book, I actually found a letter from my father where he was responding to a letter that I had written him about how much I appreciated him and remembered all the things we did when I was little. And finding this letter was like a gift from the heavens, because I realized I did say I did say the right things. My dad did know how I felt about him. And it was quite an emotional moment when I found that letter. So I feel so grateful that, you know, I did say the right things.
What would you say to individuals and families who have to cope with the sudden and unexpected loss of a loved one? What advice would you give them?
I guess I would say, you know, just be kind to yourself, and it's going to take a very long time, and don't expect, you know, it to get better immediately, because it won't. Something someone once said to me, too, was, you know, your dad wouldn't want you to be so sad, really had an impact on me, too. And I think I might say that to somebody, you know, whoever it was that they had lost. You know, they wouldn't want you to be so sad. They would want you to remember them and, you know, it's going to sound trite, but the happy moments.
And decades ago, did you ever think that your dad's legacy and work would be as influential now as it was then?
No, absolutely not. Again, because I wasn't really even that tuned into what he did for a living. So, you know, even today, to hear from people just has such a profound impact on me that, you know, that my dad had, you know, his writing and who he was meant so much.
We talked about what sort of things your dad might write for television. Nowadays, If he were still with us, what do you think his views would be of the state of television as it currently exists, reality shows and that sort of thing?
You know, it's funny because the other night my husband and I were watching television and, you know, channel surfing and Honey Boo Boo.
Right.
I can't help think how appalled my would have been by some of these, you know, the Kardashians and some of these reality shows. I mean, he just would have been, oh, my God, appalled. On the other hand, I think, you know, there's some great writing out there. I'm trying to think, is it Newsroom? I think he would have loved that. This other new show that we just started watching, The Following, I think is really pretty fascinating. And I think he would be quite impressed, you know, about what can be said out there today.
And shows like Mad Men, which in many respects is an homage to a lot of your dad's work.
I was going to say Mad Men, too, yes.
And where can people find out more online about your dad? I understand there's a Rod Serling Memorial Foundation. And where can they purchase your book, As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling?
My book will be available at Barnes & Noble and also through Amazon. And, yes, the Rod Serling Memorial Foundation they can find online.
And when you reflect upon your dad's life, the incredible contribution he made to the arts, and the relationship you had with him, what are your thoughts?
I just feel so incredibly fortunate to have had, you know, this man as my dad, and I just feel very lucky.
And it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you so much, Jim.
We hope you enjoyed tonight's story on the Twilight Zone.
This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.